You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Unbelievable. I love it. Love it. Man, you guys feeling good? Y'all are committed. If you're local San Diego Chargers fans, you guys have committed to be here. I see a couple jerseys, even though the game is about to get started. I'll try to preach quick so you can get at least, if you're recording, I won't yell out, you know, scores or anything of that nature. So, man, great to be here. Honored to be able to encourage my family. You know, honestly, I love doing what I get to do, but it's nothing like being at home and being with friends and being with the family to be able to encourage you guys and what I feel like God has wanted to say to us right now. And I wore long sleeve shirts because I didn't want to have to compete with Mike Finn's biceps. So even though it's really hot outside, I look like I'm dressed for Seattle fall, which is where I recently moved from, and not actual San Diego. I still have to buy shorts now that I live where it's not raining 90% of the time. So anyways, go Seahawks. And ouch, that was, not getting a lot of love for that. Am I, Gabe? Not getting any love for that. Okay, hey, before I jump into the word, I have to settle something. I asked for a vote earlier in the first service. I need to know what you guys feel about eggnog lattes. That's what I need to understand before I get into this. So who here is opposed to eggnog lattes? You don't think it's right? You think they're gross? Okay, this is disappointing. Okay. Who here just believes that eggnog lattes are from the Lord? You feel like God is, wow, tough crowd. For me, as soon as I drink my first eggnog latte, that's when Christmas begins. You know what I'm saying? Especially when there's no snow and it never gets cold, I really need something to tell me when the holidays have come. Starbucks eggnog lattes really are what, officially last night, I had my first drink of an eggnog latte and I said, joy to the world. You know what I mean? I literally said it's go time on the holiday season. So, all right, let's get into the word here today. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it says this, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever happens in life, you know, a lot of times, whatever happens kind of moments come our way, don't they? Different circumstances, different situations. But what Paul is calling us to here is to understand that no matter what you face, good seasons, difficult seasons, whatever comes your way, conduct yourself in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever happens. You know, the world that we live in is shaken based upon circumstances changing, right? If things are good, hey, then we're good, right? If economy is good, if the election goes our way, we're good, right? If the right person, if the right people, if the right job, if the right health, right? As long as things are good, then I'm doing okay. But if things shift, if things adjust, then all of a sudden my world is thrown upside down. And I'll tell you what, the world around us oftentimes has to navigate through being up and down emotionally based upon the changing circumstances, but you and I don't have to settle for that. You and I don't have to be all over the map emotionally just because something doesn't go our way. Oftentimes, to me, that's the biggest sign of spiritual kind of immaturity is emotional immaturity. A lot of times the two end up going hand in hand. And it's a good evaluation for ourselves to look at, realize, or ask the question, where am I at? Am I always an emotional roller coaster when things happen to me, or do I have a consistent conduct regardless of the circumstances? Now, some of you might be like, oh, no, I'm not emotional. But sometimes emotion is the crazy freak out, and you're posting all your feelings on social media. I'm not sure which of you guys types like this yet, but, right? All the emotions go on social media, but some people's emotional response is to shut down and withdraw and back up. So a lot of times, it's not just about emotional explosion. Sometimes it's about retreating and being silent and getting, you know, kind of regressing into more of a depression type of a deal versus some type of emotional act out. But regardless, no matter what happens, Paul is saying, listen, I'm going to call us to a consistent conduct regardless of circumstances. And you know, let me ask this. How many of you guys, you've been in those situations where life is going well, right? Maybe job's good and overall relationships seem to be good. Health is good, right? How many know that, you know, there's a confidence. There's a bit of an ease that can come with that, right? Anyone ever had those moments? But how many know the other moments, right? When it feels like life is just smacking you upside the face. When you're facing a challenge you didn't see coming, and all of a sudden you're just hit with this barrage of difficulty coming your way. And how many know sometimes that feeling of being like overwhelmed, maybe feeling a bit full of fear, uncertain about what's next, uncertain about the situation. And we can find ourselves really questioning and second-guessing and being afraid. But I believe the will of God is for us to be able to have the confidence of that first season, even if we're in the middle of a storm, even if we're in the middle of a difficulty. You and I do not have to settle for being out of control if circumstances change. We can be consistent. And I actually believe it's God's will, because let me read the next verse after the one that says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And then it goes on, it says, then whether I come to and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Listen to this. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. It's not a great little line there, but this will be a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. So he's basically saying that one of the most important and one of the most powerful testimonies of the goodness and the power of God is you and my's consistent conduct in the face of difficulty. When there's a peace on my life, even though there's a storm around me, people look at it and go, man, there's something different about your life. There's something different about the ease that's on your life. I know maybe everything is going wrong, but there's still a peace in you. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to face things, we're not going to have a difficult moments, and we're not going to feel like all, you know, we're humans, we're going to feel all this stuff. But I'm telling you what, we can embrace a different level of security and confidence and stability. And the world around us needs to see a calm in us. The world around us cannot look at us and be just as afraid as when they read social media and watch TV and hear from their friends. There's got to be something different coming from you and me that allows them to go, man, there's a stability in their situation that I got to get in on. I got to become a part of. And if the enemy can steal our peace, he can sabotage our witness with the people around us. So here's the enemy's constantly attempting to mess with us, kind of jabbing at us, sabotaging us, trying to get us to lose our peace and to lose our joy. And it kind of reminds me a bit of like a jousting situation. Anyone ever remember like American Gladiators, right? Right? And Nitro. Lightning? Wait, Lightning. Slayer. I can't remember them. Diamond. I don't know. Just ran. Just, was that one of them? Okay, yeah. Just name random elements, and I'm sure you hit it. Right? But the goal of that situation, you have the two podiums, and you're jousting each other. We actually did this at Emerge Men's Conference as well, which was fun. You're jousting at each other, and one of the strategies for that is that when you hit them and kind of knock them back a little bit, to continually jab at the person. Because usually in that situation, when you're on a podium and you get hit and you start losing your balance a little bit, the continued hits will keep you off balance to a point where you end up not being able to recover and it falls you down. And the enemy will try to continue to hit you again and again. And it feels like, man, the old, like, when it rains, it pours. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of a vibe. There's rain. You guys heard of that in San Diego? It's Seattle, it's a little different, but it's water and it falls and stuff. But rain, right? What am I talking about? Okay, the enemy will try to come at us again and again and again and try to get us off balance. So how do we get stable? How do we not fall prey into just being a mess like maybe the rest of culture is, like the rest of the world is? We don't have to be the same as the culture around us. We can have a stability. We can have a foundation that's different that causes us not to fall when we're in the middle of difficult situations. How do we become unshakable? How do we remain steady in chaos? King David was one of those guys he faced a lot of junk, right? He had a lot of difficulty coming after him. I mean, literally people trying to kill him, assassinate him, people opposing what he was about. But David was one of those guys who learned how to find a peace. He learned how to somehow navigate through the intensity of life and with a level of confidence. And one of the iconic chapters that we often hear is Psalm chapter 23. And I'm going to read just one of the verses of that where David says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil." So some translations maybe originally have heard that, "even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That's how it's more commonly remembered. This is a kind of a fresh translation of that verbiage. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley," David says, "I will fear no evil." Why is he going to fear no evil? Why does he have a calm in the storm? Why does he have a peace in the middle of the darkest place? He says, why? Because you are with me. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, this is so powerful. What David is saying is that my confidence isn't in circumstances. It's in my closeness with Jesus. It's in my closeness with my relationship with God. That's why I'm going to fear no evil. That's why I'm going to have the ability to have a peace, even though it's a dark situation. You know, what David is using is a shepherd term, and it's so good. He goes, "I'm going to fear no evil." Why? Because you're with me. And he says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." It's this thought of going, man, even when it's so dark, I can't see. Ever been in those moments? You're not sure how you're going to get out of where you're at. You're not sure what's next. You can't quite see. But David says, even when it's in the darkest place where I literally can't see, he said, "I'm going to feel the comfort of the shepherd's staff on me. I'm going to feel the comfort of the staff." He's kind of, you know, like a shepherd who's guiding sheep along, you know, kind of tapping them on the left, tapping them on the right, showing them the way to go. This is how David understood that, man, even in the middle of darkness, I can still know where to go because God's with me. He's guiding me. And I believe that maybe some of you guys, you're in one of those darkest valley moments. And I'm telling you what, God's with you. He wants to guide you. He's going to be your strength. He's going to lead you forward. And you just have to learn how to lean into the presence of God. You have to learn how to lean into hearing what God wants to say. But God is he's a God who's close to us. He's a God who cares about us. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. And here's the reality is oftentimes, if we're not careful, we end up grasping for that peace in different things, right? If my health is good, because, well, you know, hey, nothing's important than good health, you know? And as long as my health is good, then I'm good. Or, you know, as long as I have my job, you know what I mean? As long as that paycheck keeps coming in. As long as, you know, I got a good, solid job. Hey, as long as I got to have a good education. As long as I got a good education, then I'm going to be good. Or, you know, hey, as long as I got good friends, you know, friends who got my back, hey, then I'm good, right? As long as my relationships, you know, my future of my, you know, marriage or family, hey, as long as I got that set up, then it's all good. And you know what? All of those things have the ability to shift and change and crumble and fall. None of those have enough stability to keep you standing in the middle of storms. It's only when I put my trust in Him. It's only when my eyes are on Him. You know, I remember that. Actually, let me get to the next verse before I say that. So, how do we get a be unshakable, remain unshakable? Jesus kind of gives us a clue in here in John 16, verse 33. He says this: "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world." How cool is that? Jesus just says, listen, in me, that's where peace is at. When you find yourself in Christ, that's where the peace of God can come. That's where the grace of God will come. Jesus says, listen, in this world, All that list of things I said before, health, finances, friends, family, economy, the whole deal, in all that stuff, that's where you're going to end up finding trouble. That's where you're going to end up finding things that could slip. But as long as you keep your life in me, in Christ, that's where peace comes. You know, I think a lot of times, unintentionally, again, we put our faith in a person or in a situation or in a government. And we just had a pretty massive situation, an election in the U.S. of A., right? And here's the deal. If that result of Trump winning makes you fearful or if it makes you at ease, either way, there's a misplaced confidence that you and I have. The result of that election does not have to shift my stability as a person, as a follower of Christ. Either way, the result, whatever side of that you voted on, there still can be a consistent conduct that you and I live with, because I should not be more at ease because some person got elected than already knowing that Jesus is with me, Jesus is guiding me, Jesus is my stability. Amen? Now, I understand that politics is important, who leads our nation is important, but there should be a peace on you and me regardless of who's in the office. Amen? Amen. Only a life found in Jesus can be stable, can have an unshakable nature to it. Jesus is that peace that can steady us. You know, I think of that jousting thing that I was talking about, and you're getting hit, and kind of that barrage of things coming at you. I kind of visualize when we find our lives in Christ, almost thought of like a little bit of a cheating disadvantage from Christ that comes at you, and you're up there trying to stay stable, and you feel like you're out of balance, and all of a sudden you just feel the hand of God that reaches out and just like grabs onto to your ankle, grabs onto your foot, holds it to the platform, holds it steady, holds it solid. And even when you're getting hit and getting hit and getting hit, there's something different about you that steadies you. Not the circumstances, but because Jesus is with us. Because his hand is with us. Because his hand is for us. Amen? You know, I was challenged on this about a year ago. We Katie and I just moved down here to San Diego, and you know, new season of life and ministry, and it's been awesome. But you know, anytime you're stepping out in faith into a new season, there can be challenge, and there can be, you know, the struggle of that reality, going from talking about the money and the paychecks, going from the consistent, you know, paycheck to more of an entrepreneurial ministry type of no consistent paycheck. You know what I'm saying? No checks in the mail guaranteed, you know? And so we step out and we're going in faith. We know God's in it, and Katie does real estate as well. And so, you know, as we're kind of getting a few months into it, you know, it's tight financial seasons and you're making it work. It's called the dream hustle. It's just how it is when you're following Christ and being obedient to the purposes of God. But there was one of those moments where, you know, it was pretty tight. And then all of a sudden we found out that a house was going to close that Katie had sold. And it was like, oh, man, feels good. Feels good to have that house closing. And kind of got to breathe a little bit. And then I felt God challenge me and say, hey, how come you're not breathing like that before the house closed? How come you're not putting your trust in me before you hear about that house closing? How come all of a sudden now you can chill? Because you didn't think I could hold you. You didn't think I could catch you. You didn't think I was providing for you. Now God was in the house closing. But I had fixed my attention and my security on the house closing rather than keeping it on Jesus and thanking God for the closing house, but not allowing my stability emotionally to rise and fall based upon the circumstances that are around. Regardless, we put our hope in Jesus. Regardless, we find our confidence in him, not in a circumstance, not in anything that we face. So are we found in Christ? Are you and me in Christ? Are we living out every single day like Jesus said, if you want peace, you're going to have to be in me. In me is peace. There's no other place. It's only going to be in Jesus. So how do we find ourselves in Christ? How do we live this unshakable life, this life where we're found in him? Let me just give you a couple things here today. First one is this, that we need to be found in his word. If we're going to be in Christ, first we need to be found in the word of God. In the truth of God. Here's how Jesus says it. So powerful. Matthew 7, verse 24, says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." It fell with a great crash. So Jesus says, listen, if you want a stability even in the storm, you've got to base your life on the Word of God. We've got to find ourselves in God's Word. So no condemnation here, but when's the last time you read the Bible outside of church? Right? Literally, I'm not trying to, you know, be like, oh, okay, just being rude and condemning to me. No. I'm just asking, when's the last time you spent time in the Word of God outside of a church setting, outside of a time where you kind of had to pull out your Bible in a setting like that? Because it's not going to cut it to just be found in the Word of God once a week on Sunday morning. That's not going to cut it. You need stability on Monday. You need stability on Tuesday. You need a rock. You need an anchor every single day of your life. And it's being found in the Word of God. It's in enveloping your life in the Word of God that is so powerful to steady us and stabilize us. And when the winds blow, and they will. You notice how Jesus didn't say, if you build your house on the rock, there will be no storm. He just said, if you build your house on the rock, your house won't fall, right? Right? The storm still came to both people, but one was left standing. And as followers of Jesus Christ, if we want to have a stability in our lives, we've got to be found in the Word of God. So when's the last time we spent time in the Word? You know, reading the Bible, a lot of times I think we see it as a religious formality. Well, I guess I got to do it to be a good Christian. I guess I have to read my Bible. I want to encourage you, do not read the Bible because it's a religious formality, because you have to. Don't read the Bible for that. As a matter of fact, in case you weren't sure, you don't even have to read the Bible the rest of your life, and you still get to get into heaven. Reading the Bible is not a prerequisite to heaven access, just so you know. It's not about that. It's not about trying to earn God's love and approval, right? I don't read it to make God love me, but when I read it, I find out how much He loves me. I find out how valuable I am. I find out His plan for me. I find out His purpose for me. I have hope again. Now, when I read the Word of God, something comes alive in me. I love how King David, oh, man, he said, your Word is life to me. I love, man, if you want to just fall in love with the Word of God, read the Psalms. David was so passionate about the Word of God. And actually, you know what's kind of interesting? Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, my grandpa told me this a few years back. I hadn't heard this. Every single verse in the entire longest chapter in the Bible is David saying how much he loves God's Word in a different way. It's unbelievable. I would challenge anybody to write love for any topic that long. He calls it your laws, your precepts, your truth, right? I mean, he's just over and over and over and over. David understood that I have got to build my life on the Word of God. This is the thing that anchors me. This is the thing that stabilizes me. When culture around me is freaking out and in fear, I don't have to be, because I have an anchor. I have a truth. I have something different in my life that holds me secure even in the middle of the storm. So powerful, being found in the Word of God. You know, I love the YouVersion Bible app. I mean, I love a good paper Bible too, okay? The old school. This is actually the Bible my parents gave me when I was 14, 1995. Anyone not born yet? How did I get that old? 1995, my parents gave this to me when I first felt called to ministry. And it's still in good condition because I lost it for a while. And I found it again. But the YouVersion Bible app, if you don't have it, download it. Man, it's amazing how it can help you be consistent in getting the Word of God in your life. I have a Bible reading plan where I have certain things I read every day. I actually, as soon as I wake up, I open up my reading plan and I let it play, read it to me. That's the thing, I put the headphones in. First thing I do when I wake up is I get the Word of God into me. I just let it play. That's how I do it. I absolutely love that. And then I have an alert that reminds me, it comes up on my phone, like all our other sports alerts and all of our other, you know, Target deal alerts or whatever, you know. Like, just like all those other great alerts, I've got an alert that says, hey, read your Bible.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, good to remind yourself of that. Then every night I have a verse of the day that pops up. I'm going to make sure I use everything I possibly can to keep me close and keep me found in the Word of God. It's a great resource, a great feature. And it's just, I can't encourage you enough to find yourself in the Word of God, to stay consistent with the Word of God. You see, when the world sells us a lie, the only way to be able to decipher if it's a lie or not is to compare it to this. The Bible actually calls the Word of God a plumb line or a level, basically, so that in anything that somebody says to you, you can line it up with this and go, does that line up? Is that consistent with what this thing says? And anything that's inconsistent, incongruent with the Word of God, then I just toss it out. That's how I do it. That's how we do it. And if we do not stay vigilant at that, if we don't know what the Word of God says, then we'll just accept whatever the world tells us. Whatever the world tells us, we're like, oh, sounds good. I felt emotional when they said it, so it must be true. And then I just take it rather than always. Like if you're in a secular university and you haven't once thought to yourself, what that teacher's saying is not consistent with the Word of God, you probably don't know what the Bible says. I would be like all the time at college, okay, God, what you just said is literally inconsistent with reality. You know what I'm saying? Not to be rude, but I'm just not going to sit there and take crap because I know what the Word of God says, and I'm going to fight. I'm going to push against it, right? So we got to be found in the Word of God. Take time, be in the Word. I'm telling you, you will love it. You will absolutely love it. And here's what I always do. My dad taught me this: before you read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word to you. Right? We're not just reading random pages, random letters. We are reading the very words of God, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something fresh to you. Amen. Number two, here's how we remain unshakable: is that we got to be found in His presence. So first, we're found in the Word of God. But second, be found in the presence of God. I love Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. I just love David so much passion in all of his writings. I'm a massive fan. It says this: you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How good is that? It's in the presence of God that we find peace. It's in the presence of God that we find joy. I love it. And he said the fullness of joy. You know, there's temporary fixes. There's temporary joy in the circumstances of life, right? It's not like, I mean, I'm pumped when my football team wins. Like, that's joy. I'm happy about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm experiencing genuine happiness in a moment, but it only lasts for a bit, right? But fullness of joy comes in Christ, in His presence, being where He's at, being in the very presence of God. That is where the fullness of joy comes from. And just like reading the Bible, this isn't about a formality. This isn't about a religious obligation. This is a Father who loves you, who wants to be close to you. And so when we come into times of worship every single week, and we begin to worship God, and we begin to sing, and we begin to lift our hands, and we begin to honor Him. And the Bible says that He inhabits the praise of His people. The very Creator of the universe comes down, and He meets with us, and He interacts with us, and He speaks love over us, and He speaks grace into us, and He empowers us, and He strengthens us. And I'm telling you what, when I'm in the presence of God, I'm stronger. When I take time to be where He's at, I grow stronger. I grow stronger every single day when I take that time, when I create that kind of space. You know, again, in kind of this year of stepping out, there again was one of those kind of like, okay, budget's a little tight scenarios. And we're trying to figure something out. And then, you know, Katie and I are chatting about it. It's a bit of an intense deal, right? We're trying to figure something out here. It's a lot going on. And I've practiced this for years now, but it's been so valuable, especially in this season. When I feel overwhelmed, one of the things I do is I say, okay, let me just go pray for a little bit. Let me go worship. I go into my room, go into my office, I turn on worship music, and I just begin to worship. I just begin to spend time in the presence of God. I just begin to allow His strength to overcome my weakness. I just allow His peace to overcome and calm the storm that's on the inside of me. And you know what? I'll go in there and maybe 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour of just worshiping God. And you know what? I'll come out and I don't always have like the answer. Oh, wow. Genie in a bottle. I just figured it out. He just gave me the magical solution to what's next and how to fix all my problems. But you know what? I come out so strong. I come out of that room full of peace, full of strength, full of a confidence, full of a hope, right? That I can take on what I'm facing. I can take on any situation. I can take on any challenge that's coming my way, because now there's a new strength on me. There's a new peace on me. You know, the world has a way of kind of beating us down a little bit and getting us a little bit discouraged, but a little bit of time in the presence of God, just a little bit of time where He's at, just a little bit of time in worship, man, it just renews me. It strengthens me. One of my favorite verses, or a couple verses, and maybe you've heard this, that speaks to that is Isaiah chapter 40. Man, these are beautiful. Just think about this God that we serve as I read a few of these verses. It says this: Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And His understanding, no one can fathom. You know what? Sometimes we grow tired and weary. But He'll never grow tired or weary. It says He gives strength to the weary. Come on, He increases the power of the weak. Even youth can grow tired and weary, and young men can stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, they're going to renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know what? God wants to increase the strength of some people in this room here this morning. Man, maybe you've been feeling weary and God wants to restore peace. There's been a storm and God wants to bring hope again. God wants to bring peace in a fresh way. Man, you know what? This world needs a church that's walking in peace. They need to look to us and go, you know what? Something's different about those guys. Something's different about that family. Something's different about that church, because even in chaos, even in storms, there's a stability, there's a consistency of character and conduct coming from that C3 family. There's something unique about them. And you know what? The way we find stability, the way we find that peace, it's in His Word and it's in His presence. Amen. I want us to end with being able to take a few moments just to allow God in a fresh way to minister strength to you. Minister peace to you. Minister His life. You know, there's something powerful when we come close, like I said, and we worship and we get in His presence, something about His strength that reminds me that no matter what I'm facing, He's stronger. No matter what I'm feeling, He's with me. Even when I can't see, even if it's the darkest valley, He guides me and He gives me strength. You know, around this room, I want you to just close your eyes and allow God to begin to speak to you, minister to you. I wonder if there's anyone in the room here this morning who maybe you're feeling a bit weary. Maybe you're feeling like, man, I'm overwhelmed. Maybe there's some fear. Maybe even the uncertainty of this election season. There could be maybe it's a health, maybe it's a job situation. And there's some fear. There's some things that are facing you that you're saying, man, I need strength. I need peace again. I need hope again. I need joy again. And you're saying, that's me. God, help me this morning. I need the presence of God to minister to me. Why don't you just lift up your hand? Let me pray with you guys here this morning. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Yeah. I need some peace. I need joy. I need hope. Strength. Awesome. A lot of us here this morning. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to sing this chorus through. And as we do, I want just a fresh sense of leaning in to allow the presence of God to bring hope to you, bring peace to you in a new way. Amen. Come on, let's lift up our hands to Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every single one who right now where they're at, God, that you want to minister to them. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe they're concerned. Maybe they're overwhelmed. Maybe the situation in front of them has gotten them discouraged. But Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your presence would strengthen them, that you would restore joy to them, God, that in your presence, Lord, that they're going to find everything that they need. They're going to find the hope that they need. They're going to find the strength that they need. They're going to find a peace, God. Let us be a church full of peace in the middle of difficult times. Father, I thank you. Put your hand on them. Put your strength on them. Put your grace on them. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship this real quickly, and I want to pray again.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.